So today's message is entitled Fishing on the 1st of February 2026. I'm going to start with a reading from Matthew 4 verses 18 to 24. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Fishing is, and always has been, a very popular sport or occupation throughout the world, but especially in the UK, strangely. There are thought to be around 19 million days spent course fishing per year. And following the COVID lockdown, there was a 17% increase of rod license sales. Currently, interestingly as well, 26% of all new participants in the sport are female. Fishing is often considered to be the nation's largest participation sport. The season for most river fishing runs from the 16th of June one year to the 14th of March the following year. Therefore, there is a closed season, which is from the 15th of March to the 15th of June. The closed season is to allow the fish to spawn and thereby breed and increase in number. Fishing during the closed season would stress the fish and upset the fry being the baby fish. Now, I've been thinking about fishing lately, if you haven't guessed, and when I take Toffee the Border Collie, my Border Collie, a walk these days, we invariably walk alongside the River Bane, and more often than not, while it's still fishing season, we walk past people fishing. Some with one rod, some with two rods, and occasionally some people with three rods because they're fanatical fishers. They are there in all weathers, cold, rain, sunny. So long as there's running water and it's not in flood, someone wants to go fishing. Some of them use floats and worms or maggots. Some use spinners that look like little fish in distress. Some use weights to drag the bait to the riverbed and let it float up a little bit from the bottom, depending on what kind of fish they're trying to catch. Clearly, fishing is a bit of an art form. There they are, transfixed, staring at the water, staring at their float, trying to see where the fish are. But the water's muddy. They can't see through the water. They try to imagine where they are. They try to work out what kind of fish they are. And what's more, they're trying to work out what are they eating today and where are they eating? Where are they feeding? If you watch them carefully, they occasionally throw tiny balls of bread or sweet corn onto the water where they think the fish might be, in order to encourage them to start feeding and hopefully forget that there might be an expert angler trying to pick them and trick them and catch them. The thing I don't understand is this. if and when they catch something, they invariably throw them back into the river. And I think, so what's this about then? When I was a boy, I used to fish for trout. Used to tickle trout with the sole intent of taking something back to eat. You can eat trout. Now, the fish living in the local river, I don't consider to be fit to eat, even if you did catch them. Anyway, if they catch something, they might put it in their keep net until they pack up and go home hours later. Have a quick count up, weigh them, put them back. I guess it's partly to outsmart the fish so that they can prove that they are great fishermen and it was this big or that big. Okay, so in Matthew 4, what we just read earlier, Simon Peter and his brother weren't fishing with lines and hooks, were they? And neither were James and John. They were using nets and probably rowing their boats to places on the Sea of Galilee where they had historically caught fish in the past. Maybe they also fed the fish bits of bread or grain or something to attract them. Maybe if they fished at night, they would shine a light on the water to get the fish to come close to them, to encourage them to be closer to the boat so that they could throw the net over them and catch them. They might have thrown some fish back into the lake if they were too small or not good to eat or sell at the market. Jesus implies that fishermen may have operated in this way and that God also works in a similar way. In Matthew 13, 47 to 50, we read, Jesus says, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. And then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. And this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come, separate the wicked people from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Kind of grabs your attention, doesn't it? God knows what he's looking for regarding followers. He chooses us, and we either drop what we're doing like the fishermen and follow him, or we don't. The fishermen and women on my local river will try whatever works in order to catch fish. They are single-minded and totally dedicated to one thing, and that is catching fish. And that's why they are out there, not to watch the birds, they're not counting ducks, and they're not talking to dog walkers. They're there to catch fish. They will use a variety of methods. They will use different baits, different rods, different types of lines, different hook sizes, different floats. There are lots of things that they can tweak and adjust, but it's for one sole objective. Yep, to catch fish. When Toffee was younger, she used to spend lots of time swimming up and down the river. She absolutely loved it, especially in summer when she was so hot. You couldn't get her out sometimes. But one day she swam over to the other side of the river looking for a stick that I'd thrown in for her to bring back. And she eventually swam back to me with a distressed look on her face. I went to meet her as she hobbled out of the water with one foot being held off the ground. On close inspection, I realized that she had become entangled in a snapped fishing line, and at the end of that line was a metal fish-style lure. It looked like a small, brightly coloured fish, except that this model fish had two sets of triple hooks attached to it, and one of these had gone right through Toffee's foot, between her toes. She knew she was in trouble, so she laid down, still and quiet, while I attempted to unhook her from this thing. The problem was, that these hooks had not been debarbed. They had barbs on them. As in that all six hooks had barbed hooks, designed that way, such that once they had hooked into something, they could not be easily removed. Toffee was well and truly caught and couldn't free herself without help. Now the good news is, because she realised this was bad, she kept still while I worked hard to get the hooks out of her paw without making things worse. We did it, and she limped home, bleeding a little bit, to have her foot washed with salt water. Jesus asked Simon Peter, James and John to leave what they were doing and follow him. He said that he himself would teach them how to fish for men instead of for fish. His tactics wouldn't literally involve nets or lines or hooks, but would involve speaking the truth in love and making the offer of forgiveness and eternal life as irresistible as possible. After all, he doesn't want anyone to be lost. Let's read from Matthew 18, 12 to 14. Jesus speaking again. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. And in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. You see, in this world, there are two types of fishing going on. I don't mean freshwater and or salt water. I don't mean game fishing or coarse fishing. I don't mean sea fishing or lake fishing or even fishing with a net or fishing with a line. I mean this. There's God-style fishing and there's Satan-style fishing. Look at this. This is Jesus-style fishing. Matthew 11, 28. This is the kind of thing Jesus does when he fishes, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then there's Satan's style of fishing. Genesis 3, 1 to 8. Now the serpent, that's Satan, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "Oh, you will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he also ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Eve took the bait. Satan knew exactly the kind of bait to use and when and how to use it. Jesus, on the other hand, says this in John 10:10, "The thief, as in Satan, comes only to steal, and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Satan, on the other hand, in John 8:44, Jesus says about him, "You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So I ask you this question. Do you know who is fishing for you today? God is always calling you to follow him and wants the best for you. He has plans for you to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. But on the other hand, Satan is fishing too. He uses all kinds of bait. He also has another type of fishing called fishing with a PH. Fishing. It's a new thing, a relatively new thing. Phishing, spelt with a PH, is a form of social engineering and cyber attack where criminals masquerade as a reputable person or trusted entity, such as a bank or a workplace or a popular service, to deceive individuals into revealing sensitive information. Key aspects of phishing with a PH. The goal is to steal sensitive data, including login credentials, usernames and passwords, credit card details and other personal information, usually for financial gain, or to install malware on a victim's device. How it works? Attackers send fraudulent, high-volume emails, text messages, which are called smishing, I didn't know that, or make voice calls called vishing that often create a false sense of urgency or fear. For example, your account is locked or an unauthorized transaction has been detected, and the idea is to trick the recipient into clicking a malicious link or downloading an attachment. The lure. The term is a play on the word phishing, as criminals fish for information by dangling, attempting an urgent lure for unsuspecting users to bite. That kind of phishing, or phishing with a PH, is very common these days. Who do you think is behind that? It's not God, is it? It's not God. It's the enemy working through people to fish, to catch you and get you stuck, to extort you, to manipulate you for ill intent. It's not God tempting you. It's the enemy. James made that clear in James 1:13-15. So when you're tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I wonder who's dragging you away and enticing you. He is dragged away and enticed because you have evil desires. There is a very effective bait that Satan is using these days, and you will have heard it. It's called clickbait. It's very similar to the Garden of Eden bait. Do you remember the Garden of Eden bait? When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom. How many times have we fallen for that one? There's always something or someone that will attract us away from God. And Satan, probably as a very shrewd fisher person, knows what our weaknesses are better than we do. And what's more, with modern technology, the more you click on that bait, the more bait will appear. And it will be of a similar type, perhaps bigger, and eventually, with a barbed hook. I.e., you will be hooked. And it's not what you intended to happen when you started, but you just had a little nibble more. You looked at it, and you thought about it, and you tasted it, and you had a little bit more, and the algorithms all worked against you to feed you exactly what they think you wanted to see. More and more and more until you're hooked. If it's gambling, you're in big trouble. If it's pornography, you are in big trouble. And it is really bad news. Modern day algorithms are designed to track you and to lead you away in a bad direction. Good for them, bad for you. It will most likely cost you money, time, peace of mind, and cause you to be distanced from God and other people who don't have the same habit. Be very careful. Don't take the bait. There are so many people hiding the fact that they are hooked. Classic example for men is this. From Proverbs 5, 20 to 23, we read this. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. The cords of his sin will hold him fast. Just like a hook with a barb on it, you can't get that hook out easily. You need help. Just like Toffee with a hook through her paw, she knew she needed help. She laid on her back and went, "Help. Lord, help me. Dad, help me." And we all need that kind of help. And it's not until you come out into the light and admit that you're hooked on something, that you have a problem, that you can be helped. And I know there are people here who are hooked or were hooked. Thank God they're not hooked anymore in certain areas. But there are still people who are hooked and they need help. And it's a common problem. You're not on your own. You won't shock anybody by telling them. Remember, you can't get that hook out easily. You need help. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9:12, which says, "Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them." just round the corner, trapped. Couldn't see it coming. What could it be? What could it be? Remember my dog. She got caught in a trap. It wasn't her fault. But nevertheless, she needed help to escape. She knew where to turn. She turned to her master because she trusted me to do what she couldn't do. We, as a church, as believers in Christ, are supposed to be out there fishing for men and women. We are supposed to be as dedicated and single-minded as those fishermen on the bank of the riverbank that I was talking about. We're supposed to be focused and ready with the right kind of bait, to know what to say, how to appear to people, how to be attractive for the Lord's sake. We need to realize that we are in a spiritual battle, and that this evangelism, this reaching out and fishing for men, is not a hobby or a pastime that we do part-time. It's not a walk in the country or something that is always going to be pleasant. Our aim is to become fishers of men and women, and to be taught by the one who knows where all the fish are. Do you remember what he said when they didn't catch any fish? Put your net on the right side of the boat, and you will catch a catch. He knows where the fish are. He knows where the people are who will respond to the message of the gospel. And they will be the ones that he wants to catch. Not the ones you think you want to catch. Because the most unlikely people get caught into the church. The most unlikely people get saved. The drug addicts, people who were addicted to porn, those people who were aggressive, those people who were alcoholics, those people who had an anger problem, those people who were adulterers or fornicators. They're the kind of people who realize that I need help. And they lay down like toffee and say, I can't fix this. Can you help me? Lord, help me. An arrow prayer while you're laying down on the deck with your paw out with a hook in it. He knows where they are, and he will help us to learn how to fish. And remember this, with the gospel and fishing for men and women, there's no closed season. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. We're supposed to be fishers of men and women. Jesus will teach us how to do it if we listen to him and his Holy Spirit. We don't know how to do it, but he does. And all we need to do is to be available and learn and be as patient, as committed, as single focused as those fishermen on the bank of the river. Father, we thank you that you have a plan for us, and it is to be fishers of men in whichever way we can do that. As from today, we recommit ourselves to be taught how to fish for men, how, Lord, to communicate the gospel to them in such a way that the bait, if you call it bait, is exactly the kind of thing that will attract them. Whether they're looking for forgiveness, they're looking for healing, they're looking for eternal life, they're looking for a reason to live, a purpose for their existence, an alternative to atheism and being agnostic, an answer to their depression, to their illness, to their sickness, to their addiction. Whatever it is, Lord, Help us to discern what is the bait as far as we're concerned, Lord. How to talk to them, how to listen to them, how to respond to them for Jesus' sake. That's why he died on the cross, laid down his life for such as those, for such as us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.